Good evening. My name is Simon Chang, and this night's scripture reading is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 32. Matthew 10, 32. In some of your pew Bibles, this can be found on page 965. Listen to the word of God. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening. Let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, your day. And Father, we thank you for the 200 years of the proclamation of the gospel in the halls of this church. And Father, we pray for our country, our president, for those that are in authority. Father, we pray that your will be done. As in Christ's name. Amen. How many here are students in the area? Raise your hand. Okay. Got quite a few. I grew up in Western North Carolina, going to high school. I got into fights a lot, you know. You look at my face and it's all scarred up. I got in a fight with a dermatologist. That's what happens when you get older. If, you know, when you lay in the sun and you think, oh, isn't this great, this tan looks cool, this is what happens, so beware, young folks. The dermatologist will start getting you when you're about 45. But then when you turn, well, I'm 57, they love to chew you up when you get about my age. I grew up in Western North Carolina. When I was in high school, my father was afraid I was going to turn into a redneck, okay? So he sent me to New York to a boarding school out on Long Island. I hated that. Got into more fights. And so he wasn't quite sure what to do. And I remember my junior year, I came home at Christmas. I said, Daddy, I just need to talk to you. He said, okay, come on back to my study. So we had a little talk. I said, you know, I think it'd be a real good time for me to come home now. Because if you don't let me come home on my terms, I'll be coming home on their terms in about 2 weeks. So he said, okay, I think this is a good idea. So I go to our local high school. Of course, I've been out of the area now for several years, being in school up north, and got in more fights and got kicked out of that school. And so here I am in my junior year, kicked out again. So my father had a friend who had a little Christian college in Longview, Texas called Laterno College. And so he was able to convince the president to take me, even though I hadn't finished my junior year, hadn't even finished my senior year, of course. And so I missed my senior year of high school. I went straight to college. And please don't think that I'm smart. I wasn't. I wasn't smart one bit. And all my classmates said, how did Franklin do that? I mean, you know, he made terrible grades and he's already in college and we're still in high school. That's not fair. So I went to Laterno College. I didn't know what to do, what to take, but they offered aviation. I said, that's cool. You mean you can get credit for flying airplanes? You know, I'll take that. So I signed up, took aviation, and I still fly today. Matter of fact, I fly wherever I go. That's one of the few things I learned that I use every week of my life is flying an airplane. Then I got kicked out of that school. And I ended up at Boone, North Carolina, Appalachia State University. And by the time I ended up there, the Lord was beginning to work in my life. And that summer I rededicated and committed my life to Christ. You see, I didn't want Jesus Christ being the Lord of my life, okay? I didn't want Him. It's not that I didn't believe, I did believe. I wanted to be in control, okay? I wanted to be in control. Maybe that's why I like flying airplanes. You know, you're in control. You know, it's not the guy up front, it's me up front doing it. But I wanted to be, but I found my life was in a mess. And the more I tried to take charge of my life, the messier it got. And so I was 22 years old, and I got on my knees when I said, God, I've sinned against You, and I'm sorry. And I asked for Your forgiveness, and I believe that Your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me, and that He was buried for my sins, and that You raised Him to life, and I want Christ to come into my heart. If You will have me, if You'll just take the pieces of my life, and if You can put the pieces of my life together, You can have it. And this is my commitment, this is my promise, that I'll serve You for the rest of my life. I prayed that prayer, and I meant it. Now, I didn't know what to do. I've been kicked out of so many schools, and now I thought, you know, I better get through this process while my father is still halfway interested in paying the bills, okay? Because there will be a time come when, you know, enough's enough. And I knew that I was kind of there. So I decided, well, I'm going to go back to school, and I'm going to, I took a degree in business. Not that I wanted to make money, but I knew I was going to serve the Lord with my life. And I wanted to know something about if I was going to be involved in running anything, I wanted to have just basic business principles, you know, to help guide me through this process. So I graduated from Appalachia State University, a degree in business. And the year that I graduated, two brothers came to me and said, Franklin, we have a little ministry we got here in town. We want to send doctors to mission hospitals. Would you help us recruit some doctors? I mean, what do I know about that? But they would say, well, you've traveled a little bit. You've seen other places. Could you help us? Okay, I'll help you for a couple of months. You know, I didn't have anything else to do. And during that time, Bob Pierce, who had started World Vision and Samaritan's Purse, had leukemia. And Bob said, Franklin, I want you to take over Samaritan's Purse. I want you to... At that time, it was Bob and two secretaries. And I said, well, Bob, I don't know. And I said, I'll pray about it. Well, he died. And his board of directors, they looked at me, and I was 25 years old or whatever. We don't want to, you know, you're just a kid. What do you know? I thought, well, that's what I said to Bob. But what do I know? I don't know nothing. So they waited a year. And after a year, they said, Franklin, we feel God has called you to take Samaritan's Purse. And these doctors in Boone, North Carolina said, Franklin, we'd like you to bring Samaritan's Purse to North Carolina from California. I said, okay. Those two secretaries that worked for Bob, when I took over, they quit. So now it was just me. And I say all of this because it's a point that I want to make, and I'm going to get to the scripture here in a minute. God wants to use your life, okay? He doesn't show everything in advance. He doesn't give you the roadmap all the way from now to the time you step through the doors of eternity, okay? He doesn't do that. He just takes you a day at a time. That's all He's done for me. But I made a commitment, all right? A commitment that I was going to serve the Lord with my life. That's all. And every morning I wake up, this life is Yours. Every heartbeat is Yours. Every breath I take is Yours. Now, there are times I have lapses, okay? And I have to get on my knees and say, Lord, I forgot today. Lord, I've sinned today. I didn't talk to You. I've gotten in a hurry and I forgot to read the scripture today. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And you have to get up and go, all right? But God has a plan for each of our lives. He's got a plan for your life. How many here today believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Raise your hand. Okay? How many of you believe that He died for your sins? Your sins. Okay? How many of you believe that He was buried for your sins? Okay? And how many of you believe that He rose from the grave and that He is alive and He's here tonight? How many of you believe that? Amen. You've been taught well. All right, well, I want to get now to a little Bible study we're going to do together. All right, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page, all right? That's always important to know that. Turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. The Gospel of Luke chapter 14. Verse 25, we're going to start there, all right? Luke 14, verses 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, his wife, and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who carries his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he had enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a large delegation while he is still on the way, or a long way off, and will ask him for peace, or terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." Now, just a little bit. Think about this for a minute. This is pretty hard teaching, isn't it? Pretty hard teaching. Large crowds were traveling with him. Now, Jesus, wherever he went, there were the crowds, all right? I mean, he was healing people, raising people from the dead. The lame were walking. The deaf could hear. The blind could receive sight. People with leprosy were cured. I mean, word spread like wildfire. Oh, man. And so now people were coming to him. They were coming from miles and miles away. All kinds of rumors had spread about Jesus, but the truth was being spread about him, and people were coming. And these large crowds followed him. And here, Jesus is with this large crowd, and he turns. "If anyone comes to me," okay, "and does not hate his father and mother, his wife, his children, his brother, his sister, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Wow, that's tough. Hate. Gotta hate your mama. I can't hate my mama. I love my mama. She's in heaven. Gotta hate your father. I can't hate him. I love my father. Now, I got some brothers and sisters. Now, that's different. But is this what Jesus is really saying? You've got to, what, you know, I've studied this and I've read all kinds of commentaries, but I've read one that I picked up and liked. And what Jesus is saying is your love for him has to be so strong, so great, that in comparison to your love for your father and mother, it's almost like you hate him because you just love him so much. I thought, yeah, I like that. Of course I love my brothers and sisters and my parents, and but you know what? I love my Lord and Savior. And what he tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And that didn't put me in conflict with my parents, but some families, that puts you in conflict. No question. It puts you at odds with your brother or sister. It's going to put you at odds maybe with your mom or dad. It's going to put you maybe even odds with your own wife or your husband. But we're to love him that much that we put him first, okay? We put the Lord Jesus Christ first. You don't put him second behind your family. You put him first over your family. That's the teaching here. You've got to love him that much. Over your children. Over your own life. You've got to be willing to carry your cross. You're going to follow him. You're going to be his disciple. Now, I don't know if you're taking notes or not, but in your Bible, you can right here just write a C, okay? Stands for cost. All right, now we're going to... Do y'all have crawfish up here in your creeks up here? Y'all know what a crawfish is? It's like a little mini lobster. Okay, you've got lobsters, I know that. But crawfish, you go down to a creek and you see a crawfish and you kind of put a stick in the water, the crawfish kind of back up. And so we have just a term down south. He's crawfishing. That means he's backing up, all right? Well, I'm going to do a little crawfishing here. We're going to back up in the scriptures. We're going to go now to Luke chapter 9. Remember, right here, it's the cost, all right? What's the cost? It's everything. He wants absolutely everything. You're going to be his disciple. Everything. Let's remember that. Now we're going to go to chapter 9 here. And verse 57. As they are walking along the road, a man said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another man, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom of God. Walking along, here comes a man kind of out of nowhere. And he just says, you know, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. That's, boy, you say, wow, that's great. Man, that's the kind of disciples I've been waiting for, this guy. But Jesus, the answer wasn't that. He says, you know, the birds of the air have their nests, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. You see, I think this guy saw this big crowd around Jesus, and he was kind of a rock star, and you know, people were looking up to him, and people were coming around, and they were wanting him to get healed, and Jesus was using his power as the Son of the living God to bring healing to people's bodies. And people were excited, and people were talking, the whole country was talking about him. This guy said, hey, I'll follow you wherever you go. Man, this is cool. Man, this is great. Wow, what a train to be on here. And Jesus said, you know, I don't even have a place to lay my head. You don't hear any more from this guy. Just kind of, oh, really? I thought you had one of those credit cards, you know, and you were staying, you know, down here at the Marriott or something, had a suite up there, you know, top of that hotel. You don't have a place to lay your head? Huh. You don't hear any more from this guy. He just kind of backs out of sight. And then another man, he said, follow me. Now, Jesus is being specific. He's actually talking and he's looking at a person and he's pointing at him, I want you to follow me. Okay? Now, he's asking a particular person, I want you to follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go back and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom. Now you say to yourself, Jesus is so insensitive here. The poor guy, I mean, his dad just died. And he's over there laying on the slab, and you know, and he's just saying, I'll go, but I got to bury daddy. Let the dead bury their own. What are you talking about? Let the dead bury the dead. You go proclaim the kingdom. I mean, what is this? Is that what he was really saying? You see, this is just an excuse. It's just an excuse. The guy's dead, dead when dead, if you look at other translations. The guy's saying, well, when my father dies, okay, I'll come follow you, but I've got, you know, he's elderly. I've got to take care of him. I'm the eldest son. I've got to look after him. And, you know, it's an excuse. And as I've traveled, I've had a lot of people come up to me with these excuses. And I'd speak at a missions conference and people came, you know, as soon as I get my education paid off, I'm going to go to the mission field. Oh, really? And in my mind, I'm thinking, I doubt that, but you know, okay, that's great. Yeah, or as soon as I get my children raised, we're going to go. My husband and I have talked, we've talked about that. We're going to go. Oh, really? I think to myself, I doubt it. But okay, we'll see. And I have people who will tell me that whenever this or this or that happens, I've had businessmen come to me, you know, Franklin, I want to be a self-supporting missionary. And I'm going to sell my business early, and when I'm 45, I should have enough money. And then I'm going to cash out, and I'm going to serve the Lord for the rest of my life. And they think I'm supposed to pat them on the back and say, wow, man, that's great. Good job. I can't wait. No, I don't do that. It's just an excuse to put it off. He doesn't want to go. He's not going to go. Because the devil, I guarantee you, will put another obstacle in front of him when he turns 45 and he won't be able to cash out. There'll be maybe a little decline in the stock market. Well, I'll just wait another year and let it come back up. You know, I know we all get into that. And this guy just said, listen, I want to bury my dad. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, but you go and proclaim. There's an urgency. And if you're going to follow Christ, let me tell you something. There's an urgency to it, okay? It cannot be put off till tomorrow. This is not something you can do later on. This is something that he wants you to do now, okay? That's it. He wants you to do it now. And then there's another guy comes up. He said, I just want to say goodbye to my family. Yeah, right. That's just another excuse. Jesus wants you now, okay? He doesn't want an excuse. He wants you now. And I don't know what God has planned, especially you guys here in school. And your education, when that comes up and you start looking out to the real world, what you're going to do with your life, I tell you what, you serve Him and you go for Him. And let me tell you, we live in a world that wants to shut your mouth, okay? Because you've got to be politically correct. If you open your mouth and if you talk about Jesus Christ, they're going to ridicule you. They'll laugh at you. They'll attack you, okay? Well, let me tell you something. Get attacked. Don't back up. Don't shut up. You be bold for Christ, okay? You be bold for Him. You go back to your college campus. You live for Christ. You tell other students about Christ. People will maybe shun you. I don't want to get next to that girl. She talks about Jesus. Have you heard her? Man, she said, she's always talking about this Jesus business. Good. Then have that kind of reputation. I'm not talking about being rude. I'm just talking about being bold, okay? Don't back up. Don't give up. And I tell you, the more I listen to the news, the madder I get, and the madder I get, the more I want to shout that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I'm not afraid to tell anybody that, all right? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way to God. There isn't another way. Oh, the world, well, how about the Mohammedans, and how about the Buddhists, and how about the Swamis, and all these people, you know? Let me tell you, they're going to go to hell. That's where they're going. They're going to hell. Because Jesus is the only way to God. He's the truth and the life. Why? Because it's Jesus Christ that died on the cross. He shed His blood on Calvary's cross, all right? He was buried for our sins. We have a sin problem in this world. And the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of God's glory. And the wages of sin is death. That's the penalty for breaking God's law. It's death. It's separation from God for eternity. And Jesus Christ came to take our sins. He came to free us from the guilt and the shame of sin. But we've got to be willing to accept Him by faith, okay? By grace are you saved through faith, not of works. If you could work for your salvation, you would brag about it. And these guys here just had excuses. Jesus was saying, follow me. Well, you know, Dad, you know, I've got to wait till he's kind of old. And when I bury him, I'm coming. Count on it. As soon as I, go back and say goodbye to my family, we'll have a big party and they'll want to invite their friends and the neighbors and, it'll be a couple of weeks, but I'm coming. No, you're not. Okay, excuse. All right, we've got a C. We've got an E. All right, now, we're going to go through the alphabet here. Let's back up here. We're still crawfishing. Let's go back to chapter 5, okay? Y'all doing good at crawfishing? All right, chapter 5, verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, that's the Sea of Galilee, with people crowding around Him, there's that crowd again, and listening to the Word of God, He saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by fishermen who are washing their nets. He got into one of the boats that belonged to Simon and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then He sat down and He taught the people from the boat. When He had finished speaking, He said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked all night. We haven't caught anything. But because You say so, I will let down the nets. I love that. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. I love that too. When Simon saw this, he fell at his knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, and they left everything, and they followed him. Now Jesus got that crowd, and he's wanting to talk to them. And they're just in his face, you know, they're right there. And, you know, I'm sure he backs up and they're right there. He backs up. And so finally he's down there by the lake and he sees Simon boating. And he hops in. He says, "Push it out a little way." So he's probably just maybe 10 or 15 feet offshore, just, you know, about where the third row is. And he's now got a little room. He's got his space. And now he's talking to the crowd. And he's teaching them the Word of God from the boat, where he can have a little space so not everybody's jammed up on him. And people are listening. Then he turns to Simon and he said, "Put out to the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Well, okay. You know, we fished all night. You're the son of a carpenter. We're fishermen. You know, this is our lake. We know what we're doing. And you're telling us to go out here and let down our nets for a catch? Okay. Well, because you say so. Because you say so. I'll do it. I love that. You see, God wants obedience. He doesn't want your excuses. He wants your obedience. And look what happens. Now, Simon, we've worked hard all night. We hadn't caught nothing. But because you say so, we're going to go out there. Now he's got such a large catch. He's got a problem. His nets are about to tear. So he signals to his partners, the sons of Zebedee, "Guys, come over here." Now, when it says out to the deep, I have a home in Alaska on a lake that's about 65 miles long, about 5 miles wide. There, it's a deep lake. Probably a million fish in there. They're not that easy to catch, trust me. But you walk out the shore, and you know, you don't walk very far. This water's liquid ice, all right? And I do this in the summertime because you can't do it this time of year. But you walk out there, and it's, you know, 2 feet, 3 feet, and pretty soon it's up to your neck. But you go out and go out and go out, and it's, you know, 10 feet, 15 feet, 20 feet, 30 feet, 40 feet, and then it just kind of drops off into an abyss, okay? Now, the fish kind of hang out around where it's 20, 30, 40 feet. They kind of hang around the shelf. And then it's hard to catch fish out in the very middle of the lake. So I think because Peter was able to signal to his partners, you know, they weren't 2 miles out in the middle of the sea. They were probably 100 yards or so offshore where the shelf is, catching these fish. And now the nets are so full, they're about to break. They holler for their partners. The partners come. And now they're hauling in these fish, and now they've got another problem. The nets were about to tear. Now the second problem is now Peter's boat's about to sink, and the partner's boat is about to sink. So much blessing. Lord, we haven't caught anything. Remember that? We fished all night. And Jesus said, "Go out to the deep and let down the nets for a catch." It wasn't, let's go see if we can catch some. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He said, "You're going to let down your nets and you're going to have a catch." And boy, did they have a catch. And now all of a sudden, all this dawns on Peter. It dawns on him. He falls on his knees. He said, "Lord, I'm a wicked man. I'm a wicked man. Just back off, Lord. I'm a wicked man. I'm a sinful man." You see, when you come into the presence of a holy God, you see your sins. And he recognized that he was a sinner. And Jesus said, "You like this? You like this, Peter? I'm going to make you a fisherman of men." Fisherman of men. So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. We do some work in a prison down in Louisiana, the Angola State Penitentiary. Angola State Penitentiary is a farm prison, okay? The prisoners have to work on the farm. They grow their own beef, they have their own vegetables. It's a working prison. And the warden, his name is Burl King. He looks like Boss Hogs, a big old belly on him. But he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. 5,000 prisoners, and he has the prison separated into five separate camps on 15,000 acres, okay? Each camp has its own freestanding church. And I said, Burl, how do you get by with having a church on state property? He said, Franklin, when prisoners come here, the state don't care what I do. They don't care. And I said, Burl, does any of these prisoners ever escape? Oh, yeah. I said, well, what's it like, hunting somebody? That's for royalty. He said, a manhunt, that is a hunt for royalty. He said, there's no bigger thrill than a manhunt. I said, really? I said, what do you do? When you catch the guy, do you beat him up? What do you do? No, we don't beat him up. That's just on the movies. We give them a Snicker bar and a bottle of water. A Snicker bar and a bottle of water. Why do you do that? Because we want him to talk. We want him to tell us how he got by our guard. And then when we find out what guard he went past, we go fire the guard. Because, word gets out you can get by that guard, then everybody's going to try to go get by that guard. But a manhunt. And when he said, it's a hunt for royalty, his eyes just lit up. He got excited. I think for Peter, when Jesus said, you like this? You like catching these fish, Peter? I'm going to make you a fisherman of men. I bet Peter went, whoa, really? Wow, fishing for men. I'm on your team, Lord. They pulled up those boats. And remember, this is the largest catch these guys have ever had. The boats were about to sink, so the boats were right down, with the water coming right to the very top of the boat, filled with fish. It would have been very easy for them to say, Lord, listen, look what you've done for us. Look at this gift that you have given. We've never seen so many fish. It'll take us a couple hours, but we'll clean them, we'll process them, and we'll get them to market and think of all the money we'll have for the treasury. Jesus didn't want those fish. He didn't want one of them. He wanted Peter. He wanted the sons of Zebedee. He didn't want the fish. And the disciples had enough sense to know that. And they pull the boats up on shore and they walk away from it. It might have been, in our market today, hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't know. Do you ever watch Alaska's Deadliest Catch, that thing on TV, the Discovery Channel, those guys out there crab fishing in the middle of wintertime, and they bring all these crabs and they take them in and unload them, and each guy on the boat's making like $30,000 or $40,000. You had a lot of money here. These guys just walk away from it. They walk away from it. And they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there's a cost. He wants everything, okay? He wants everything. He wants your love, your devotion, more than you have for your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your children. He wants your devotion, your love, more than anything else in this world, and He wants it all. He doesn't want any excuses. He wants your obedience, okay? Will you follow Him? He's calling you to follow Him. Will you do that? I had a young man today come up to me. He wasn't quite sure what the Lord had for his life. I didn't know what God has planned for his life. I don't. I said, are you telling anybody about Jesus? He said, people at work would laugh at me and, they'd make fun of me. And he said, I just don't say anything when I'm at work. That's the problem. Listen. The secularist, The spirit of Antichrist is in every business and every school campus of this country. And they want you to shut up. don't you shut up. I challenged this young man. I said, well, then just ask God to give you one soul a day. Will you share your faith till you have one soul? And I said, when you get one soul a day, ask Him for two souls a day. How's that? And when you have two souls a day, ask Him for three souls a day. Why not? You don't know what God has planned for your life? Well, just start telling people about Jesus. And let's just see what happens. You know, these guys that fished all night hadn't got nothing. It would have been very easy just to say, we're not going back out there. We've been there all night. We're tired. We're going back to the house and get a nap. But because you say so. And I say that's the gospel according to Peter. But because you say so, we'll do it. And I tell you what, you go fishing for the souls of men. Be fishermen of men. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? There's a cost. There's excuses. And there's the obedience. You know what that spells? CEO. He wants to be the CEO of your life. The Lord Jesus wants to be the chief executive officer. Let Him be the chief executive officer of your life. Can you do that? Will you do that? Will you put Him in that position? And then just step back and watch what He does with your life. Okay? Just step back and watch. You won't regret it, I promise you. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we pray for each one that is here tonight. And Father, we thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, for sending Him into this world to die for our sins. Father, we thank You for each one that's here. And Father, if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ, if they aren't sure that their sins are forgiven, Father, I pray that right now that they would just confess their sins to You and say, God, I have sinned and I'm sorry. Forgive me. Father, if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know You, that doesn't know Your Son, that right now in their heart they would say, I believe that Jesus Christ is Your Son, who died for me, who You raised to life. And Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Your Son, that they would pray right now, Father, I want to invite Jesus into my life to take control, to be the CEO from this day forward, forevermore. And Father, if anyone has prayed that prayer, Father, I pray that You would guide them and that You would direct them. And Father, I pray for each one here that You'll guide and direct each and every one, especially the students that are at the various universities here. As they finish their education, as they go into the world, Father, may they not shut up. And tonight, as they go back on campus, may they irritate everybody by telling everyone about Your Son, Jesus Christ, and what He's done on Calvary's cross. And that He's alive, He's not dead, and He's coming back, and they better get ready. So, Father, we thank You, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.